Turning to the Bible, the book of Luke, chapter 2. Well, you know, when you're saved, every day is a gift to God. Amen. And so we can sing about Christmas songs every day if we wanted to. Because in it is contained the gospel message. Amen. Amen. 12 and 16 would be the key verses. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Earlier this last month of December, the independent Baptist pastors and their wives met, as they do each December. They set that one, rather than having a pastor's fellowship, we get together and go someplace for a dinner. But of course, we realize that you go to Burlington, you not only have to have a mask, but you have to have a card saying that you have met all the requirements of the vaccinations and so on. And so we opted out of the one restaurant that was down there. None of the preachers wanted to go to that anyway, down there. They wanted to go to Sweetwater. It would have been nice to maybe go to, but because they mandated a certificate of vaccination there, then all the pastors just said, no, we're not going to go down that road. Now, that's not saying they haven't gotten vaccinated. Many of them have gotten vaccinated, and but it was just the issue that was at hand for the most part. Well, Pastor Tim Taylor brought a devotional that night from this text, and as I have had time to meditate upon a single thought in that devotional, it was along the idea of Christ as a baby, but he did not remain a baby. He grew. And the more I thought about that seemingly simple statement, I have felt in my heart that it would be a great source text as a challenge for myself and this church family for this coming year of 2022. As redeemed of the Lord, we begin our life in Christ as a spiritual babe. Amen. That's why Peter writes, and he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So we start out as babes. Whether we remain a babe, that's your choice. That's going to be your decision along the way. So we begin it as spiritual babes, for which God has every expectation that we will in time grow in grace and become mature Christians. Now, a lot of us, if you've been saved 5 years, you should be 5 years more mature than you were 5 years ago. You know, you don't always find that. God doesn't always find that being the case. So this is not always the reality. Some grew quickly and some grow slowly. Some have not grown at all. They're no further along than when they first got saved. There's still that spiritual babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. So God has given to every believer the same access to all of his resources so that we can serve him in spiritual maturity, so that our lives lived will magnify his word and glorify his son, that he in turn may glorify us. You know, it's a sad thing to watch a child that does not grow, either because they don't want to grow. I think one of the hardest battles, my sister reminded me of this when I got my doctorate, and she said, to think that you were the one that mom had the hardest time teaching to count to 10. I did not say, what do I need to count to 10 for? I got a roof over my head, got food on the table here, clothes on my back, what do I need to count to 10 for? Well, I think I tried my mom to her utmost, and she decided that pennies didn't work, raisins didn't work, maybe a couple swats on the backside will work. This is one. Oh, got that one. This is two. Oh, got that one too. Sorry. You learn. But you know, it's amazing how there are those believers who have no real desire to grow. And that's sad. It's a choice that they're making that is not going to bode well when they stand before the judgment seat of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They won't lose their salvation, but they'll have nothing. They'll be there totally bankrupt. And so we're going to be looking at the message, the babe in the manger. Father, won't you guide and direct as we go through the message this morning, that you'll guide and direct to meet every need. Lord, indeed, some of us will make progress a little bit slower than others. But Lord, they're making progress. But Lord, prayerfully, it's not because that's their desire. Because, Lord, there's so much that you have for us to do. There's so much that you want for us to do. And you cannot do those things because we're still yet babes, or we're still maybe just toddlers, or we're infants along the way. And so, Lord, for whatever time we have been saved, may we realize that we need to redeem the time. Because the time is getting short, and we do need to redeem it. And so, Lord, if we have been slow in the start, Lord, may we speed and race toward the end in wisdom and in knowledge, guided and directed by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, speak to us and help us to see what we need to do and what can be done in this year of 2022 to bring us to that place where, Lord, you can use us, not just a little bit, but that you can use us greatly and in great ways to bring honor and glory to you and satisfaction to our soul. And that will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't really have that many points overall. But I did point down that, number one, there is the expectation. It'll be 3 points as usual. But the Apostle Paul makes a strong correlation between the natural expectation that we as parents expect when we have newborn babes come into our lives and our homes. Now, when you bring them home, they have their cute little nose, their cute tiny little toes. And it all is really cute until about 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. I think they should be born so they sleep 8 hours to the night, don't you? I think they should. But that's not their biological needs. But he makes this correlation without that, of a new spiritual birth that takes place when one, regardless of their age, comes to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's a lifelong walk. It's a lifelong growth. Do you stop learning just because you hit 20 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70? No, you don't stop learning. Now, the old saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, guess what? You can learn some things that are new. Learn some things that you never knew about God. Learn some things about how God wants to use you in wonderful and marvelous ways. But as I said, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire, they desire the milk, don't they? When they wake up in the morning, they wake up for two reasons. Initially, because they are hungry, or because they're wet. And they want you to either feed them or change them. Most of the time, they want you to feed them. And so, they desire. They may not know it mentally that they desire it, but the autonomic functions of their body says, you're hungry. Scream, yell, cry, do it all. And later on, it becomes a pacifier and milk and feeding and changing of diapers. But the word may, and it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The word may suggest a couple of things here. Number one, not all who profess to be saved will grow very much, if any at all. And what a travesty for someone who's been saved for 10 years and knows so very little about God, who knows so very little about the scriptures. They have their opinions. They have their thoughts along the way, but they don't really know if those thoughts or those opinions or anything out there, they don't know if they're biblically based or not. It's just something they've conjectured because they've heard someone say this, they've heard someone say that. And so they form their own opinion of it all, but they really don't know if that's what the Bible says. So secondly, that God's word is more than sufficient to bring about spiritual growth and maturity in the Christian life. And it is the single greatest source for spiritual growth to be applied throughout life circumstances. You're going to face things that are unpleasant, things are going to be uncomfortable, things that you'd rather not face, but they are stepping stones that God uses to bring about spiritual maturity. If we don't take advantage of those steps or those things that happen in our lives that may not be pleasant, and we don't search the scriptures to find how, what is my response, if you don't know, what is my response, what is my reaction to be to this situation or this set of circumstances, or guess what? Then you're not going to learn anything. But when we have these problems in our lives and we don't find answers, biblical scriptural answers on how I am to respond or to react to these situations, then we're going to grow spiritually. If we get in the Word of God to find God's direction. Because we said earlier this morning that God has a solution for every problem in our lives. So as to number one, as redeemed of the Lord, we can be very disappointing to God. And of all the things that you want in your relationship between yourself and God is not to be disappointing to God. So we don't want to disappoint God and others who have and do work hard through prayer and instruction when we refuse to grow up in the Lord's grace. So the Apostle Paul was very disappointed in several occasions with those over whom he had labored and prayed for several years. We've turned in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me know if I'm picking up any of your scriptures. Okay. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 16, I'm sorry, verse 14, beginning of verse 14. He said, now thanks be unto God. I'm sorry, I'm in second, I'm supposed to be in first. We're familiar with these portions of scriptures anyway. It says there, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. Why is that? They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you are very special in the context that you can understand what God has for you in this word, in this book. Verse 15 says, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He's talking about maturity here. I got some things that I really want. I told you, I had mentioned it before. But he goes on, he says, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And he opens verse 3 with, for ye are yet what? Carnal. That's the character of someone who gets saved and refuses to grow or is unwilling to grow, is they're still carnal. They're still thinking worldly. They're still acting in many cases about certain things worldly. They have no spiritual control over their thought life, over their motives, or the things that they do in life. So verse 16 is addressing our new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. That's the birth point. That's that spiritual birth. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so God is about ready to build on this new foundation that has been laid in the person of Jesus Christ. Not the old way. New thoughts. New goals. New motives. New desires. A new perspective. Everything changes because it's filtered now through the scriptures and not through the world. But notice Paul's continuation as he expresses his disappointment in chapter 2, as he says in verses 1 and 3 of chapter 3. And there he uses the word babes. He says, you're yet carnal, meaning still lacking spiritual maturity, still reasoning and still thinking and still acting in a worldly fashion. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I can get that one right because there's only one Galatians. All right, Galatians. We'll look at a couple different places here. But he begins there in Galatians chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ, under another gospel. The word of God is a stabilizing factor in the life of the believer. It'll keep us from going too far to the left, too far to the right. It'll keep us on the straight and the narrow. And so he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Here, Paul is disappointed. He expected once again that all his teachings would have borne spiritual maturity. It at least was his expectation, because he knew the power of God. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And he was looking for spiritual maturity. At least the progress that should have been made. Folks, it is why we need to study our Bible, so that we can grow in Christ. We ought to make that a goal for this year. If we haven't been spending any time in the Word of God, then get in the book.
Amen.
God can't use you if you're not in the book. And if you are in the book, it's not going to kill you to spend a little more time than you did last year. Lord, I'm going to give you one more second this year than I gave you last year. That's not going to work, all right? But look in Galatians chapter 3. Beginning of verse 1, and he says, this is what he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." He's basically telling them, listen, you're foolish, you're wasting your life. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the work of the law, the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Maybe you haven't moved. Maybe you haven't gotten out of the cradle yet. God says, get out of the cradle. Stop moving forward. Maybe you've gotten out of the cradle and you've kind of stagnated. And you're not doing it. Well, you know what? Get on the move again. It's time to get on the move. God has expectations. Galatians chapter 4. Looking at verses 8 through 9. He says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." You know, it's amazing what people will do under idolatry in order to win favor with those idols and those images which are no gods at all, as opposed to what God's people will do. Now, listen, a lot of God's people, boy, I mean, their heart and soul into it. They put their heart and their soul into their walk with the Lord. But then you always have those who are so far in the rear that they can't even see the front. But he says here in verse 9, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" See, that's part of spiritual growth, is to either recognize that I haven't grown or that I am growing. Now, how do you recognize you're not growing? If you're still acting like a worldly, unsaved individual, then you're not making any progress. If you haven't mellowed out as a Christian and you are hot-tempered or whatever it might be, then you haven't made much progress. You can have a lot of knowledge up here, but the application of it to our mind and our heart and our soul is altogether different. Having all the knowledge in the world, as I had read it somewhere, someone said, you can know all the doctrines of the Bible and still miss heaven. You really can. And so Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 9. He begins, he says, "Ye did run so well. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." The Holy Spirit's not going to cause you to go backwards. He's pulling you. He's struggling to get you to move forward, to grow and to mature. He says in verse 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So whatever that is inside of you is keeping you from making some spiritual progress. Deal with it. Get it over with. Get it behind you. Get into the blood and start growing. Get in the Word of God and spend some time meditating. Listen, could you imagine the day that we stand before the Lord? And if He asks us, I don't know if He's going to ask us this. So, didn't have time to read my Bible. Didn't have time to study. Didn't have time to meditate. Also up on that screen, there flashes. You had all kinds of time to spend hours watching videos on telephone. You had hours of watching gameplay on. So you didn't have time, huh? Well, let me say here on Tuesday, you just spent 6 hours watching stupid videos. In fact, you spent a couple more hours on that other one that I think that's a vulgar place, is TikTok. See, why Christians are on those things? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Do we need to have a little chuckle here and a little chuckle there to watch someone do something very stupid on TikTok? I remember Peg was saying something about, there was a little video in there sometimes on Facebook, and you click on that there, and it's absolutely nothing. But by the time you get in, you realize you just lost 5 minutes of watching nothing, literally nothing. Get a joke book if you need to have something funny to watch. All right, buy yourself a joke book, read a couple jokes along the way, it might help you there. But listen, for a believer to stand before God and excuse not studying or meditating in the Word of God, listen, you're better off if you take just 5 verses, think about them, take a couple notes, and think about them throughout the day. That's meditating. You're better off than if you just don't read the Bible, but you spend hours and hours and hours on your phone or your whatever your video network is, when you don't have time for the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Again, you can hardly not use this passage of Scripture as we go through this. Hebrews chapter 5. Looking at verse 11 through 14, the Bible says there, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what? Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. You know what that means? That you can understand. If you're not reading the Bible, and you're not meditating in the Bible, and making application of the Bible, when the preacher preaches, or the evangelist is evangelizing, and the teacher is teaching, and you don't get it. Now, some things are hard. I get it. But there's some things which, listen, anybody can get it. If you can put two and two together and come up with four, there's things in the Bible you can come up with there instead of looking like, what'd the preacher say? How do you get that? How do you come up with that? Well, come up with it in the Bible. But anyway, he says there, of whom we have many things. Now, this is dealing with Melchizedek, if you will. Not Melchizedek, but yeah, it is actually verse 10. Melchizedek, I was looking over to chapter 7, sorry. But anyway, he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one what teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Listen, don't you chide the preacher if he preaches on something that you don't like and you're not in the Bible. If you're not reading, you're not meditating, and you're not studying the Bible, and he preaches on something that you may not like, and you can't say that you have honestly meditated even that day or that week or that month or that year, don't go home and say the preacher's all wet behind the ears. You show me chapter, scripture, and verse where I'm wrong, and maybe I'll change. Maybe. But strong meat, verse 14, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So spiritual maturity never is acquired by idleness or by laziness or by indifference. God has so many things he wants us to learn. He has so many things that he wants us to know. He has so many things that he wants us to exercise in our lives. God wants to impart divine knowledge. He wants to impart divine wisdom, and he has placed it at our fingertips. Isn't that amazing? At our fingertips, with the expectation that we would spend the time necessary to acquire it through study and meditation. Wouldn't you be a little upset if you went to a teacher-parent conference and the teacher says, well, your child's failing because they are not prepared. They're not doing the homework. It appears that they're not reading the lesson for the class. Well, cannot God be extremely disappointed if we ourselves are not reading, meditating, and studying in the text? Isaiah warned of the antithesis of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, if we turn back to the book of Isaiah very quickly. Isaiah chapter 5. And this is that ability to be able to discern between what is good and what is evil. Looking in verses 20 through 23, and he says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. You know, there's a world out there tonight that is absolutely clueless. They may have their academic degrees, but you know what? They cannot discern between good and evil. Why is it good when you think that some of the garbage that we're hearing, some of the foolishness. I mean, these are people who are teaching in the public school system out there. And they're looking at, in order to not be racist, we're taking away all grades from all kids. Well, even some teachers are saying, you can't do that. How are you going to know if that child is making any kind of progress or not? Well, you hear these snowflakes out there, and that's exactly what they are. They're snowflakes. They're clueless. And they're coming up with all these ways of trying to make someone who is unwilling to do the work or put in the work, or else they're saying that black people or brown people are just not very bright. And so therefore we have to make exceptions for them. Listen, they're smart. They're intelligent. They just even know that that's who they are. But you have to hold them, whether black or white or yellow, blue or pink or green Martians, you got to hold them to a standard so that they will realize there's a goal. I've got to shoot for the goal. And in that particular process, they're growing. They're growing aware of the world in which they live. And then scripturally, they're growing spiritually aware of the world in which we live as well. He goes on here and he said, woe unto them to call evil for good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that putteth bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own... Boy, is that not today? That's a vast majority of those snowflakes that exist out that way. But he goes on and he says in verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Rioters, they're justified. But if you try to defend, you're not justified. So we got a world that literally is, morally speaking, upside down. Amen. Literally upside down. Now, has God's expectation for you and I been a disappointment as 2021 closes out? I hope not. But we don't have to look at the ending of 2022 being the same. We can certainly make progress. How far have you and I moved from being a babe in Christ to being a spiritually mature individual? Folks, we simply cannot get from the cradle to spiritual maturity without putting in the work as believers as we're expected. So the expectation, we'll move on very quickly here to the exercise, and it's really short. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. We've received the commandment that we are to spiritually grow. And I'm not a big fan of exercise. The older I get, the less I'm a fan of it. Not that I don't need it. I have been trying to develop not a way of exercising without exercising. I haven't found that way out yet. But I've been trying to work on a mental ascent. I've got to get on the treadmill. I know it'll be a whole lot better for me, so... He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word exercise here means to exercise vigorously. But you know, I can do that. I can sit down and exercise vigorously my mind. I at least keep that muscle hopefully alert. If I can. But it means to exercise vigorously either the mind or the body. In my case, I think both would be a big deal. But none of us will get what we need from 1, 2, or 3 hours a week that we spend at church. We have to make time in our daily schedules to exercise our mind concerning the Word of God. Whether or not you take it seriously or not, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, is a command from God, for which we will give account concerning our obedience here. Back to 2 Timothy, just back a couple books here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Whoops. And he says there, and if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he what? Strive lawfully. That means you're going to have to be the one to sit down and read and meditate and take notes on the Bible. I can't give you in a couple hours a week, nor can Steve in a couple hours a week here give you what you really need to carry you through the week. If that's okay, if that's true, then come downstairs, eat with us here, and I don't want to see you eat until next Sunday. All right? So what does God's word say about courtship? How many of our young people even give a hoot what God has to say about courtship? I'm expecting Wesley to come up this way. But you know what? God has much to say. What does God's word say about marriage? Oh, he has a great deal to say about marriage. And when you don't pay attention to the word of God, the onus is on you, not on God. What does God's word say about parenting? Lord, it says a bunch. What does God's word say about finances and investing? Oh, hundreds and hundreds of verses. What does God's word say about business? Everything that we need in order to run a godly business. What does God's word say about our daily walk? Unlimited information. What does God's word say about his expectation of you and I? Unlimited. Unlimited. For the redeemed of the Lord, God has laid down a solid foundation, and he expects us to build wisely our lives on that sure foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't build what you want to build on that. God will tell you what you can build on that and the way in which you can build on that foundation. But don't you go out there thinking all of a sudden that you've got all the answers when you don't, when you're not in the Word of God. So you and I have two choices. We can either build wisely, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14 tells us we need to build wisely. And also it says in 3:15, the consequences of building foolishly. If what we have done in the name of Christ, and we can do some foolish things in the name of Christ, but if we do those and they don't stand the test of fire, then you'd be left bankrupt in heaven. You'll be saved, yet so is by fire, according to verse 15. So if we have no desire to exercise our learning or desire to grow, we have a serious problem. I'm telling you right now, you have a serious problem. I have a serious problem with either our salvation or our love for the Lord. If I'm saved, do I really, truly love the Lord? Do I really believe that I'm saved? Well, it isn't for me to judge, but rest assured, it is God's place, and he will. So what about the record that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14? The reward. You're either going to have something or you're going to have nothing. One or the other. We close with this, the exaltation, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we're going to be looking at just verses 21 through 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy salvation. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and them at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that which hath 10 talents. So the first thing to realize is that God has requirements for his servants. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required of a servant to be found faithful. Be faithful. Faithful what? Faithful to his word. Faithful to his leadership. Faithful to the the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God, faithful to what we read in the Scriptures. So faithful to what? The book, His infallibly preserved word. Faithful to everything that He commands us to do. Are we faithful stewards of God's word? Are we faithful stewards of the time that God allots us? Are we faithful stewards of the talents and the spiritual gift that He gives? Are we faithful stewards of the resources that He has provided for us? We expect God to be faithful to His word. Amen. We're expecting God to really hold to His promises, but somehow we can break them. Well, you're wrong. Yes, God keeps His promises. He will never break them. And He counts it a sin to not keep your word. So if you want a well done, thou good and faithful servant, then this is what we will need to strive to do. There will be no trophies for just showing up. No trophies. But there are five crowns that God wants to award the children who are faithful. But you have to be faithful to the tenets of the rewards. Why does Paul keep under or control of his body and its fleshly desire? So when he preaches to others, he knows of what he speaks through experience. Will a well-lived life for the Lord be easy? Not at all. Not at all. Will it be worth it all in the end? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All it takes is a commitment to make sure that we make 2022 a year of substantial spiritual growth. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. And Lord, it is important for us to grow. Lord, we can't reach a particular point in our lives and say, I've grown as much as I can. I've learned all I can. Lord, we haven't even scratched the surface. And Lord, even for those who might even believe that they have gotten to a place where they can't learn anymore, we still have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God who can expand and who can open our minds so that we can learn. Lord, I'm not so sure that I need to learn anything more about this world. But Lord, there's a millennial of time to grow in spiritual grace. But Lord, it has to begin in this life. Lord, may it be our desire, may it be our hunger, may it be our thirst, is to grow spiritually and to realize that we've got to spend some time, we've got to give up some things. It may be some things that the flesh really likes. It may be a limiting of some of the things in our lives that we do truly enjoy and get in the Word and read and to take some notes along the way, or Lord, at least maybe put down some questions and say, when I get to church, I'll ask the teacher, I'll ask the pastor. Lord, they can do that. But Lord, so many today, they won't even pick up the book. They won't even open it up. Lord, they couldn't even tell what the second chapter of Genesis is all about. And Lord, that's going to be a shame. A horrible, disgraceful shame when we stand in your presence. Father, may we make that commitment, whether here in the sanctuary or at home today, that 2022, we're going to get serious. We're going to get out a notebook. And we're going to start taking some notes along the way. Lord, whether it's reading three chapters and taking a few notes about a few verses to ponder and to meditate over, Lord, we're moving in the right direction. Lord, for many more, could even spend more time. Lord, doesn't seem like it's going to be very long before we're going to be with you totally, present with you. And Lord, I want to make sure that I'm prepared. And I trust that all these folk here want to make sure that they're prepared for that wonderful grand meeting, not only as to salvation, but Lord, as to a servant, to be known as a faithful servant. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. You make the same choice, same decision at home. You might say this morning, preacher, pray for me as we pray for you. I want to make 2022 a year where I really grow in grace this year. Not just so I can have all these facts in my head, but so that I can actually make some application of the Bible principles to my life. So that I can be a blessing to the Lord. What a blessing He is to us. But listen to me, when you walk in obedience to the Word of God, then you are blessing God. You're showing the world that, look, God's Word works. His principles and His precepts work. And then God can use that testimony to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Preacher, pray for me in closing today. Pray for me, yes. Pray for me. Maybe at home you have someone in your presence that does not know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. It has to begin here. I don't care how long you've put it off, but listen, you do not know that you're going to have the month of January, let alone the end of this day. Today would be a good time to commit yourself to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and then purposing to get in the Word of God to learn all you can about the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. What a blessing that will be to you, that I can promise. Well, Father, we thank you for each and everyone who's gathered here today and for their patience today. But Lord, we've got a lot going on here in the year 2022. And Lord, we're placing ourselves into your watch care because, Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you've called us to this hour. Lord, may we be in your word as we ought to be so that we can be prepared for whatever it is that is coming down the pike. And so, Father, you guide, you direct. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessings. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, we've got some white chili and whatever else is down there, dig in. Oh. I thought I plugged it in.